Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines, with 4,000 flights to 250 cities in some 40 countries around the world every day. It's easy to book your next flight at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly. I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves. And right now, we're learning about gay and lesbian travel. I've got with me the travel editor of the nation's top source of information for gay and lesbian travel on the web. Ed Salvato is the travel editor for outandabout.com. Ed, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Ed, so you've got a pretty sizable market here. You operate out of the United States. Is there a lot of business for gay and lesbian travel?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we have about 5 million unique individuals visiting us per month and about 3.5 million active members. And we also offer travel guides, which are a premium product. In other words, they have to pay for them. And we have about 130,000 people paying $89 a year for our travel information. That's more of a robust premium travel guide information. Yeah.
So there is a market there. Now, you know, you're specializing on gay travelers. Is the industry, the travel industry in general, which is the second biggest industry on the planet or something like that,
Yes.
do they recognize gay travel as an important part of the general travel market?
You know, yes, much more now. And I think a lot of companies, including a lot of destinations, are jumping on the bandwagon. It's estimated that the value of the gay travel segment domestically is about $54 billion a year. And people, kind of when they realize some of the other statistics about gay travelers, they really want to kind of reach out. And then some other destinations just are doing what's right and reaching out to gay and lesbian travelers to make them feel more comfortable. So,
yeah, is $54 billion enough for some corporate leaders to overcome their homophobia?
a few million dollars between friends. Our company, Planet Out, is a publicly traded company, and it's valued at about $155 million. So we're a pretty big and growing company, and I think a lot of that's reflected in how many people want to advertise with us, too.
Yeah, it is advertiser-driven. When there's advertisers, they're pretty blind to what kind of market it is. It's just the market's out there.
They got travel money.
What are your frustrations with dealing with the travel industry in general? I remember when I started teaching, independent travel fit the industry like a snowshoe in Mazatlan, you know, and now independent travelers are embraced as an important part of the traveling market. What about gay travelers that way?
One thing that frustrates me is places that benefit mightily from the gay and lesbian travel dollar, but do not invest a cent in it. And an example of that is Orlando, you know, which every year they see the benefits of a week's worth of partying by gays and lesbians who go to the theme parks and do what they call Gay Day. It's a whole week, really. And they say about 150,000 people, gay and lesbian visitors, come and spend a lot of money. But Orlando, up until now, really hasn't reached out at all. So that's the kind of thing that it kind of gets my goat a little bit.
What about, to me, it's interesting. There's a lot of Christians that are accepting of gays and certainly don't discriminate against gays. And there's a lot of Christians that are quite homophobic.
Right.
We have a country that's becoming quite outspoken or aggressive even in its Christianity. How do you see that impacting your work?
You see a lot of, you know, if Boston, for instance, recently launched a gay campaign, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, a few other places, and, you know, now about 60 destinations around the world are doing it versus maybe 5, 10 years ago. But you often see the first people that respond to that are negatively, and usually sometimes the only people, are these so-called quote-unquote Christians. But, you know, they're not really, I don't think they're all that important because they're not spending their money. They live there.
Right.
You know, so it's really the travelers, and sometimes they don't live there, actually. They're just writing and complaining that they're giving money to sinners. So it's a little bit distasteful, but really the gay travel market has just grown bigger and bigger despite their noises.
Would there be, now, Poland is the most church-going country in Europe, I would say, and it's probably the places where gay travelers would have the most flack.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
You said Poland, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Is that just a coincidence?
I think there's probably a correlation there, and because the Catholic Church has seemed to be so intolerant around the issue of gays and lesbians. Right now they're trying to purge the ranks of gay prelates and gay priests, which seems sort of strange. But Poland, in fact, canceled the recent gay pride celebration, and it was really because of homophobia. There's a problem in places like Poland.
Because I was in Berlin, and there was no hint of canceling that thing. I mean, it was so fascinating to be at the gay pride parade in Berlin, because I was sitting there, I'm a pretty straight guy, you know, and I'm well-scrubbed and everything, and I saw thousands of people doing whatever they could to kind of just ruffled the conservative feathers of the multitude of people gathered on the sidewalks. And the funny thing was, nothing those gay partiers could do would offend the Berlin straight community.
That's great. You know, Berlin is one of the most tolerant, in fact, one of the most the communities that celebrate diversity most loudly in the world, and they always really, almost always have been. And it was a place that a lot of artists went and Jews went and all this kind of stuff. And right now, actually, they have a gay mayor. Klaus Wowereit is the gay mayor, and he's a very outspoken one. And when they confronted him about this during the elections, he just said something like, "I'm gay, and that's fine.
I'm gay, deal with it."
Well, and it was like it was done.
I was just in Berlin and Munich has long been the dazzling, most livable and desirable place in Germany. And I gotta say, Munich is had all of the luster pulled out of it relative to Berlin. Berlin is emerging as the happening, energized city with all sorts of celebration of life stuff busting out all over.
It really is.
And people of all different stripes feel welcome, I think, in Berlin.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, they're actually one of the, they wouldn't normally have to because everyone goes there anyway, but they really reach out to the gay market. They're super friendly towards the gay travelers.
Now, there was a time when gay people could be thrown in jail and killed and so on. I was down Capri, the island of Capri off the coast of Naples this summer, and was fascinated by the very early, in modern terms anyways, gay history there. This was a place for gay writers and cultural leaders that had to keep their gayness quiet. They went there and they could be openly gay. What do you know about gay history travel in Europe?
Gay travel history in Europe, it makes me think of actually Provincetown, which is American, of course, but that's about 100 years ago, artists started going there. And I think you see this in other communities, even in Europe, is where the artists and writers go or went, so then follow the sort of bohemian society. Mm-hmm. And then I think maybe Mykonos might be an example of this, where it's very gay and lesbian friendly, but it's very kind of well-heeled. And it really started, I think, a lot of these places with artists going there. Just to comment on Provincetown, you know, Oscar Wilde visited Provincetown, you know?
And Oscar Wilde was part of the crowd in Capri, I believe.
Yeah, and so you see these forerunners and the gay forerunners, and then following that is like the sort of tolerant bohemian types, their circle of friends.
Now, you're dealing with literally millions of gay travelers and providing them information so they can travel and enjoy the world. How would you say, what's the difference between, how does a gay traveler differ from a mainstream traveler in just their needs and so on?
There's some really interesting statistics. For instance, one that I thought was just astonishing was that in terms of passport ownership, 84% of gays and lesbians own passports versus about 29% in the mainstream world. So that's a pretty huge difference. 84.
That's incredible. Are you talking Americans here?
Americans. This would be American statistics, yeah.
84% of the gay adults in the United States have passports, as opposed to what percent?
29% of straight, their mainstream counterpart.
Wow.
And gays and lesbians, because of the dual income, no kids factor, tend to have more money and spend more money when they travel. One statistic is they're three times more likely to spend $5,000 for a week's vacation.
Yeah. You know, my dad learned that way back in the 70s. He used to import German pianos, and a lot of people couldn't afford them. But regardless of what my dad thought about it, gay musicians kept him in business.
Great. See, we serve a purpose. And then the other one is gays and lesbians tend to travel more frequently, more spontaneously, and for sort of a special event, friends' parties or a big gay pride or a gay film festival or something. So they tend to travel about seven times a year, which is far more frequently than their mainstream counterparts. And again, you know, having no kids and a little bit of extra money in the household helps.
Well, this must be handy information for you when you're trying to sell ads on your website.
Oh, absolutely. These are the statistics the salespeople trot out.
Do you ever get a travel company that just says flat out, we're not interested? I don't care how profitable it is.
There's Sandals, which is the heterosexual-only resort in the Caribbean, which we every year we bestow these travel awards, including what we call rock bottom awards for bad behavior. I guess our 12th year was this past August. And we honor those players in the gay travel market that are doing particularly well in terms of, this would be hotels, restaurants, destinations, even companies that just market to the gays and lesbians like Travelocity or, you know, whatever. And then we also lob what we call Rock Bottom Awards at countries, companies, places that are not doing so good, but it's in the spirit of constructive criticism.
Oh, well, in the spirit of good radio, tell me the best destinations and the worst destinations, just in a nutshell.
Well, the destination of the year, Spain, and largely because of gay marriage is now allowed there, and it's just the perfect honeymoon place. Some of our top domestic destinations, I'll give you the top five, would be Atlanta, Boston, New York, Los Angeles, Palm Springs. Those are five really, really fun, cool places. And in terms of the European segment, Americans tend to like Paris, London, Amsterdam, Berlin, Barcelona.
But, you know, heterosexual travelers like those cities, too. Those are just great cities.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of correlation. Like, one of the most, we do poll after poll, one of the top destinations domestically for gays and lesbians, top two, Las Vegas and Orlando,
just like straights. Well, there you go. I'm talking with Ed Salvato. He's the travel editor of Out and About, and outandabout.com is the website. It's a great source of information for gay and lesbian travelers. Hey, are there any real safety concerns? I'm not talking about getting pickpocketed or something, but people just getting mugged or beat up because they're gay.
I think like any travel guidebook, we really espouse cultural sensitivity. And if that means, you know, yeah, you're in West Hollywood, feel free to hold hands and, you know, skip down the street with your rainbow-colored, you know, vest on. But we're saying, you know, if you're going to head to Syria or if you're going to be in, you know, someplace maybe a little bit more conservative, culturally speaking, just to sort of respect the local traditions. And this way you kind of generate respect.
I would think that would be a fundamental tip for gay travelers, is just to be aware of where you are. It's
absolutely
the same thing with women traveling. You don't dress exciting in Damascus.
You
cover your head.
You know?
And a good travel anywhere is look around, see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If people are looking for information, what do you recommend if they want to know where's a comfortable place to travel? You got your website.
Yeah, well, you know, our website's good because we have a lot of free information and we have some paid information, but we really give away a lot of free information, so that's completely comfortable. There's other really great resources out there in addition to our company is Out and About and it includes Planet Out and Gay.com, but there's also a great travel magazine called The Out Traveler. There's a good guide called Damron. There's just lots and lots of information. And you'll find on a lot of mainstream tourism bureau websites, like the Philadelphia website, that there's a gay section. And either it's explicit, it says gays and lesbians, or there's a little rainbow flag, you can just click on it.
Okay, so there's gay travelers know the different codes and so on in a world where you need to be sensitive.
Right, absolutely.
I'm talking with Ed Salvato, and he's the travel editor of OutandAbout.com. Ed, thanks so much for your insight into travel for gay and lesbians.
Absolutely, anytime.
Best wishes. Bye now.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Travel with Rick Steves is brought to you by American Airlines. With their new Advantage Award booking tool, it's easier than ever to book to over 800 Advantage Award destinations online at AA.com. American Airlines knows why you fly.